Those that are staying with me, turn to Revelation chapter 13. How about a work in progress? Brothers from the church have just been doing
wonderful. I just appreciate all their work and good fellowship. Always is good fellowship. There's 18 verses in this. Why don't we stand and read it, and I'll try to read one, and then you read one. The last time, I sort of messed that up. I apologize for that. All right, chapter 13 of Revelation. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority.
And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast.
And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months.
And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name,
and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto all, given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life by the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
If any man have an ear, let him hear. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon.
And he exerciseth all the power of the beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men.
And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which hath a wound by a sword, and yet live.
And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead.
And that any man should could buy, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Here is wisdom. Let them that have understanding count out the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
I want to remind you again here, it says in the middle of that verse 18, for it is the number of a man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this book of prophecy as it fits with all the old prophets in the Old Testament, that you let us know what is coming in the end times. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessings of that you've given us and our great salvation. And Lord, I pray that as we study this Word today, we'll be blessed, we'll have understanding, and walk out of here with a clear mind. Forgive us where we failed you, Father, and help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week, verse 14 of chapter 12 said, wings of a great eagle, that God was going to protect the nation of Israel, the woman, by the wings of a great eagle, and that many people had thought that was going to be, now we have airplanes, you know, there'd be great people. I'm not saying people won't escape by an airplane, not at all. But I am saying that when we read in the scriptures, it said that they were on the wings of a great eagle when they were coming out of Egypt, didn't it? And so it makes sense that God's not saying they're going to go on airplanes. He's saying that he's going to miraculously protect them. Well, now, a brother came up to me after the meeting last week, and he said, look at number 1632. Why don't you look at number 1632 right now? Because it said that there was a great earthquake, and the earth helped the woman and swallowed the flood which the dragons had sent after them. Now, somebody want to read to me that verse?
And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained to Korah and all their goods.
Well, right there. Here's Korah. That's the exact same words. The earth opened up. And it said it was an earthquake. So I'm just saying that's a good idea, and it looks like that might be just what happens. This army goes after them. A great earthquake comes and just destroys them. How many thousands, even millions of people are killed by earthquakes? And we have a lot of them in our day. But anyway, that was just to finish up chapter 12. Now, chapter 13, man, I didn't get these things arranged. Chapter 13 is about the Antichrist. And the personages that we're going to see in here are just very, very interesting. And if you know your Bible, going back to Daniel especially, now all the prophets speak of this man. And there are many different little things that you can pick out in the Bible that's talking about the Antichrist. But this chapter here is very definitely descriptive of the Antichrist. And so when we're looking at chapter 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now that might seem like a real strange thing to you in our day, especially if you haven't studied prophecy. If you haven't gone with the prophets in time to think what is going to be in the end times. Well, look if you will at Daniel chapter 2. We're going to read some passages there, beginning at verse 40. Daniel chapter 2, verse 40. Now this is 700 years before Christ when Daniel is writing. And Daniel is writing the history of the world. And now that you and I are past him and looking back upon it, you can see clearly the prophecy that he's giving, and it's going to fit with what we have here in Revelation. Daniel 2:40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Now, he had this big image, and he had the kingdoms, 1, 2, 3, the head of the lion, the head of gold, and so on and so forth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, look at verse 44. He's talking about these toes, these 10 toes of this great image that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. In the days of these kings, those toes, not that whole image, that's the history of the world bringing up to it. And you come down to this image of those two legs, and here's Rome. And then you come out here, and then all of a sudden in the toes, you don't have this great strength and this iron. What you have is iron and clay. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass. What's going to happen is, and what Daniel's prophecy was, that in the days of these kingdoms, these 10 toes that are part strong, part weak, God is going to carve out a stone. And that stone is going to come down and hit. That's the kingdom of Christ. That's when we have the millennial reign of Christ. And here it's going to last forever. It's going to have that 1,000-year reign upon the earth. And then forever and forever, still Christ shall be king. Now look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told us some of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, 4 winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And 4 great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl, and the beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions before, behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth, and devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now what we're talking about when we have the 4 great beasts, the first is the lion, and we have Babylon as the first kingdom, and then you have the Medes and the Persians when you come with the other beast, verse 5, like as a bear. And then you have a leopard, which had 4 wings of a fowl and 4 heads and dominion. That's Alexander the Great. And then we have, I saw in night visions, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, verse 7. Great iron teeth that devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. That's Rome. He's talking about the great kingdoms of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar is your great king. He's the head of gold. No man was as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar. That's your great kingdom. That's your kingdom of gold. And so the Medes and the Persians finally conquered after he has his son in there. You remember the story in Daniel of Belshazzar. And he writes upon this wall, a hand comes out and writes upon the wall. And he said, who can interpret it? Nobody could interpret it. And Daniel wasn't at the party. So his mother was there, though. And his mother said, oh, your daddy had a man, you know. This Daniel, well, where is he? Go get him. And so he said, man, I'll give you a gold chain about your neck. I'll make you the 3rd ruler in the kingdom. All of this stuff. He said, just read that for me. Meeny, meeny, tickle, you farson. He said, well, you can keep your gold. And you can also have your position. You know why? Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And that night the Medes and the Persians had blocked off the river that followed in there, and they went under the gates and came in and captured the whole thing. So when Daniel reads that, he knows this king doesn't have any time left. His gifts he can give to another. It didn't matter to him. And so we have these kingdoms coming down. Well, you get to Alexander the Great. And why they call him the Great is because from a young man, his whole purpose was to devour, to conquer. And his daddy was a king. And, of course, he fought in many battles. Alexander the Great never was defeated. He died probably with an epileptic fit or a drunken stupor, whatever. And his big problem was, he said, he was about 30 or 33 years old when he died. No more places to conquer. You know, you get certain things in your head. The guy's conquered the world. Now, what I noticed on that image there, he had four wings. Alexander the Great had four great generals. They divided up his kingdom. One took Rome, one took Egypt, one took, you know, various things. And then they fought each other. You ever heard of Julius Caesar and Mark Antony and those, and Cleopatra? Well, that's what was left of Alexander's kingdom. You see, Alexander went and conquered Egypt, and he built a great library there in Alexandria. That's the city he built, named after him, Alexandria. And he had this great library there, and all of it was destroyed later. But you don't know about Cleopatra. She was probably the descendant of a Greek, not a Hamite or anything from Egypt or whatever. I don't know what it was about her. I've seen various statues supposedly of her. Maybe you have too. She's not all that beautiful. Have you ever thought what out of the 4 billion women there are on the face of the earth, what chance you have of marrying a great general? I mean a world conqueror. You don't have much chance of that, do you? Well, she got Julius Caesar. He was married to a woman back in Rome, but he fathered a son with her, and he finally supposedly married her, whatever. And then she got Mark Antony, which was a good friend of Julius Caesar, and he took over. And then she gets Mark Antony. And then when Mark Antony is whipped by Augustus Caesar, why, she tries to go for Augustus, but Augustus wouldn't have anything to do with it. But that woman had the chance to be with three world rulers, great world rulers. I don't know what she had, but she had something. Now, thinking about this, this chapter 13 is about the Antichrist. And in fact, it's about the unholy Trinity. And you know what the Holy Trinity is, don't you? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. And what we're going to find in here, we're going to have the devil, the Antichrist, and the anti-Holy Spirit. And that's what's going to be described in this chapter. It's a very interesting chapter. And when you put it together with what Daniel has said, we've got this guy rising up, what did it say, out of the sea. Out of the sea generally would be thought of out of the world, not necessarily out of Egypt or out of Palestine, but out of the world. Okay? So he stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. One of those 7 heads and 10 horns sort of goes back to Daniel and this image that he had there that had 2 legs, very strong, made of iron. And then you come down into the feet, into the toes, and you had part weak and part strong because there was iron mixed with clay. Now, you don't mix iron with clay. They don't work well together. You'd say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, you know, we had a beautiful thing here in America. It's one of the reasons why we've been so rich. I'm discounting the blessings of God. Just on a natural level. We don't charge taxes between states, do we? No, I can just drive my car into Louisiana. They don't stop me and examine me like when I go into Mexico they do, and went to Guatemala they would. But here, if I've got steel in Minnesota and I got a manufacturing plant in Oklahoma, I'm not hindered except by shipping cost. Now, we became very rich that way. England had all of these kingdoms, and they were some strong and whatever, and some of them were very good, strong kings, and they fought each other all the time for control. And that's exactly what the four generals of Alexander the Great did. And you and I, we get a whole lot of our culture from Greece and Rome. What did Rome do? What was she really good at? Well, she really wasn't good at religion. She really wasn't very good at being nice to people, you know. She had the iron sword, the sharp sword that the Roman army carried, just changed everything as far as warfare. They are great soldiers. What do they take when they conquer a place? Whatever they want. So, your Roman religion is really Greek. The Greek gods just have a Roman name. Same thing with the idea of democracy is really Greek. Rome took it up, and they were supposed to have all these senators, and they were not supposed to have a king. And then somebody like Julius Caesar comes along. He's a great general. He's one of the greatest generals that in the world's ever seen. And a very, very brave man, but then he wanted to be emperor, you know. And he got so strong that even his own friends killed him, because they didn't want an emperor, it seems like. So, when you have all of these things put together, they get taken over by the Germans, the Germanic tribes. And what happens is that they got too soft. Now, after Julius Caesar, Nero's not such a great hero. Neither are some of the others that come down the line. They're just soft wimps in comparison to somebody like Mark Antony or Nero or Alexander the Great. They didn't class up. And they didn't want to go out and get dirty. Some of you don't want to go camping because you get dirty. And I got a son-in-law that worries about skunks running around and possums and coons and stuff like that. I would rather be with possums and coons and skunks than walk the streets of Brooklyn at night. That's where I was raised, see, okay. But now you think about it, what we've got in after Constantine. Constantine is a great general. He's in about 300 A.D. And he decides in a dream he gets a vision to conquer in the cross. And so he converts. Rome had many religions. They not only had all the religion and culture of Greece, but they had many religions. And you could have any religion you wanted. It didn't make any difference. Until Constantine. Constantine decides to conquer in the name of the cross. And so he has all of his soldiers in his army baptized, everything except their sword arm. That belonged to Constantine. The rest of you belongs to God. We're going to baptize you. We're going to put you in the water there. And we're going to conquer. But you take your sword arm and your sword, and that was not baptized. That belonged to Constantine. So Constantine becomes a Christian, declares himself a Christian. And for a while, and he conquers. He walks in and just conquers Rome, and he becomes a great ruler. Have you ever thought about the city of Constantinople that go close to Constantine? Well, he built it over on the Greek side. That's where you and I get our King James Bible. That's where their Greek Testament went through on that thing. It lasted 1,000 years longer, till 1500, somewhere around there, 1496. Okay, Rome is going to get stopped. By whom? Constantine's dead. We got a bunch of effeminate rulers that just aren't really all that strong, or they're interested in just building something, whatever. And the rich people of Rome didn't want to go out and get dirty. They didn't go out and swing a sword and get bloody and kill somebody and have to be away from home and all that. So they had these tough guys, Germanic tribes, of pretty rough brothers. And they would hire them. I want you to go fight this place. I want to take this territory here. I want you to do this here. And the Romans would sit back home in their luxury, taking their baths, doing all their things, you know. But they're not fighters. Not like the ones that raised them up. You see, Rome lasted 1,000 years from 500 B.C. up to 496 A.D. Well, the Germans fought for them for a while. They paid good money. And they were fighting. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And then finally, and I don't remember which one it was, somebody said, why am I fighting for them? Why don't I fight for myself? And so they did. They came in and they just took over Rome. Well, what these big, strong Germanic tribes did, some of them broke off and became England, and some of them broke off and became France. Some of them broke off and became Spain, and some of them were Italy, and so and Egypt and whatever. Now then, when you and I think about the Dark Ages and whatever, these guys are fighting each other. Spain got so much gold out of the New World. They just were loaded with it. They spent it all fighting everybody else. In fact, Spain was just about the Pope's army. He could just call on Spain and Spain would go fight somebody because he had an argument with the Pope about something or some deal. At any rate, they fell apart, and then what we know now is Asia, Europe, it was all broken up into kingdoms. And they fought with one another over the period of, you know, England and France were always fighting. Spain was always fighting somebody. They were already looking for gold and whatever. Pardon me. Now, what's happened recently? You ever heard of a European common market? Do you know what that is? That's a United States of Europe. What did they do? They copied us. I don't know how China copied us, but she did. I'm not sure all the intricacies in China, but she's got a communistic top, but boy, she's got a working thing for money, for trade, for producing things. Did you ever watch Jay Leno at night? I used to love it when he would bring out the gifts you could buy at the dollar store. They were made in China, by Chinese, sold in America. And you read the instructions. You know this person is not even a seventh grade Texan in his knowledge of English, because it'll give you these instructions. And they were hilarious. They were great jokes to read what you could buy in the dollar store, the toys and other things that you got. They were made in China back there. They have our economic system. They have copied all of that. Whatever we did, they sent spies in and got it out, and they copied it, and they've sold it around the world. And Trump is trying to straighten some of that out now. Whether you'll have any success or not, I don't know. But what you have now is a combination of these nations. They want the wealth of the United States. Well, they know that if we keep fighting each other in our little bitty bailiwicks, we can't get things done. We're in the United States. You got oil, you got steel, you got whatever, and all of it can be used back and forth without any tariffs and laws and stuff like that. Now, I think what you're looking at here is that's the old Roman Empire. That's the old Roman Empire. Julius Caesar conquered England. They conquered a whole bunch of different places. And it was broken up into the kingdoms that we, you and I, have read about in history, when the knights and the soldiers and the crusades and all of the things like that, and sending the ships to the New World to get the gold that's there. They became very impoverished, and they made themselves a combination. Well, what's going to happen right here? When he's talking about this here, said, this guy had 7 heads and 10 horns. What do the horns represent? Power. That's your kingdom. these 10 toes that Daniel was prophesying about that were part of iron and part of clay. You got your place though, like Germany, that are strong. They've got a lot of money and they've lent it out. They've lent Greece so much money, Greece is basically bankrupt. Well, now, I don't keep up with all the political things of this thing. It's just interesting to me. You got your 10 toes already there. That's interesting to me. Part of iron, part of clay. Some of them are very strong, and some of them are very weak. Greece, I think it was a year or so ago, something like that, they went on strike. They were working too hard, too long hours. They had to work 28 hours a week. What's the matter? Well, they've developed this system, and Greece has borrowed so much money from Germany, Germany owns Greece, you know? And so you got these 10 toes down here, some strong, some weak. And he comes out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, how come it's 7 heads? Well, what is the story of all rulers? I want what you got. What did England and France, what are they fighting about? Well, they want trade. They want so boat lines, passages, all sorts of things like that. That brings in wealth. Okay? And so they fought each other all this time. Here comes the guy, and he's going to take over all of them. Out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. One of these kings has conquered several others. So that you have him controlling 3 or 4 kingdoms, and the others are just controlling one. Okay? Now, they have 10 crowns. Well, that's 10 kings, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So here is the Antichrist coming out of the sea. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. You ever thought about a leopard? Leopard has spots. Now, if you added a spot to a leopard, or if you took a spot off a leopard, would you notice it? Probably not. Probably not. Now, if you had an all-white dog, like a Pyrenees Shepherd dog, and you put a big spot on the middle of his back, would you notice it? Of course you would. But on a leopard, you wouldn't notice much because it's a mingle thing here. So what we have here, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. What have we got here? We've got a combination government like a leopard. We're like a leopard. Here in the United States, we're like a leopard. We've got all kinds of people, all kinds of religion, all kinds of businesses, all kinds of interracial things like that. My daughter had my blood sent off. Man, I'm a Heinz 57. You ever looked at one of those things? Cost you about $100. And then they'll tell you, well, you've got 58% from England, and you got 24% from Ireland, and you got so much, and the name is Scottish. And then I've got down here to 1% Russian, 1% Jew, 1%, you know. What are you? We're all mixed up. We're the leopard, okay? So our nation, our country is like a leopard, not an eagle. I know the eagle is our sign. If we had this today and the way we think and what we think we are, we would be the eagle and the feet of a bear. Well, the bear would be Russia, and the mouth of a lion. The lion would be England, would be speaking English, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. This is the Antichrist. Now, throughout the years, people have been looking to identify the Antichrist. They went to great lengths to try to think that Hitler was the Antichrist or that Napoleon was the Antichrist. And some of them, you had John F. Kennedy was the Antichrist. I've heard so many things, it is amazing to me. But at any rate, what we have here, it's a very different kind of beast. You ever see one like this one? Had a body like a leopard, feet like the feet of a bear. Can you imagine a leopard with bear's feet? Mouth like a lion, a leopard with a lion's mouth. And he has power and great authority from the devil himself. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. What is the one thing you have to believe in Christ? Resurrection. Isn't that right? He came out of the grave. First one with a new body. First one of a new race of beings. He came out of the grave, Christ. Okay, what's going to happen to this guy that comes out of the sea? Well, it says here, one of his heads, out of those 10 heads, wounded to death. He gets killed. And his deadly wound was healed. He gets healed. That's his resurrection. This is the Antichrist. This is the one who's going to look like Christ so much that most of the world will be fooled. And God's going to allow it. And all the world wondered after the beast. Well, I'd wonder after him too. Did he really kill him? He had a deadly wound. Was it a sword? Was it a bullet? Was it a bomb? Whatever it was. He gets killed. And like Jesus, you know, Jesus was dead before they took him down off the cross because they didn't break his legs. What'd they do to the two other prisoners? They broke their legs because they still weren't quite dead. When they went back to the grave, 3 days later, he's not there. And he's got all these eyewitnesses saying he's alive. And that's what Paul is preaching, and they think he's got some strange doctrine of some God that was killed and then resurrected. And so a lot of people had a hard time believing it. Do you believe all the stories you hear about? I don't. I heard all sorts of things. I heard of a Pentecostal preacher going into South America and a guy didn't have an eye and he healed him and he had an eye. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. You know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's nice. That's sweet. That's wonderful. Wow. You know, if it's true. But I don't think a whole lot of things are true. There are a lot of magicians in the world. There are a lot of con men in the world. And I'm sorry, I've been taken by enough con men and I want to be taken again. Do you buy everything they show you on television? Man, they make some tremendous claims. They've got a thing there that was fat as I am, I ought to be using it. Because you take it, you lose 4 times more weight. They never tell you from what. Well, you could lose 4 times more weight. More weight than what? More than 1 pound or 20 pounds or 50 pounds? What are you talking about? More than going on a diet? You know? Send your money right now and boy, you'll look like me. And they got this model up there, you know. Woo-wee. Honey, you ain't never going to look like that. Okay. Wounded to death, his bloody wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Yeah. Back in the days, 40 years ago, they had a big computer somewhere in Europe, Belgium maybe. They called it the beast. It was a new thing, you know. And I was into computers in those days, in 1980s and whatever. But he's not a beast. Remember that last sentence in this chapter? The number of a man. Not the number of a computer. The number of a man. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon. Okay? We worship God. And Jesus Christ is his son. He's our savior. He's our substitute. He's our resurrected Lord. And he gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Well, it's sort of like, I have never seen one of these, but I've seen them advertised on television, The Walking Dead. And they're shooting them. What good does shooting a dead man do? Have you thought about that? You got no protection against a dead man. You can fill him with 15 holes. He can still keep coming if he can keep walking dead, right? Well, that's their reasoning here. Who's able to make war with this guy, this Antichrist, because he's going to be the Christ for the world. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. They accused Christ of blasphemy because they claimed that he was equal to God. Well, it wasn't blasphemy because he was. The Bible says, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's God. Let me tell you something. This guy is going to have a reputation. Who is able to make war with him? Given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. I've heard preachers and I've heard politicians make all sorts of promises. Have you? I got so tired of the 2 years before this election of the president. I didn't have anybody I wanted to vote for. Not a one. And so I was in a barrel. I was just in a problem. Well, here's a guy. Deadly wound was healed. All the world wonders after the beast. He's going to set himself up. It was a few years ago. It could have been 10 or 20. I'm getting old, you know. I don't figure all those things. Some guy in England claimed to be Christ coming back. It was in all the papers. Went around the world. Anybody remember that? I do. You remember that? Yes, sir. I said, well, maybe this is the Antichrist, you know, maybe so. But it doesn't fit everything that what we've got here, and we have to be more, and then you didn't hear anything more about him. But this guy you're going to hear about. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Remember this. The devil is alive and walking because of the will of God.
That's true.
The devil is not strong enough to stand up against God and win. God could have destroyed the devil at any time in the last 6,000 years at least. Anytime he wanted to. All he's got to do is speak the word. And when we looked at the four falls of Satan, you see what's going to happen to him in chapters 20. He's going into the bottomless pit. Michael is going to take him with his angels. God's not even going to have to get off the throne. He speaks the word, and that is exactly right. So, what does he say here? Power was given unto him 42 months. Now think about it. Hitler wanted this. Napoleon wanted it. Tamerlane wanted it. Genghis Khan wanted it. Julius Caesar wanted it. Mark Antony wanted it. Augustus Caesar wanted it. There have been a lot of people that are drunk on power. They're not after the things you're after. They want control. They want to be the biggest in the world, the strongest in the world. Why would you spend $20 million to get a job that makes $400,000 a year? Got to be something besides money there. It's power. They're drunk on power. And that's what they are. And it says, power was given unto him. By whom? God. God's going to let him. And here in a little bit he's going to say, my time's up, but God's given him the power. And God is letting him say his blasphemies for 3.5 years. That's another one of your 3.5. You got 7 divided into 2. 42 months. Interesting to me, it's one of the most interesting books, I think, anywhere in the world. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. That's not the church. The church is in heaven. What is it taking place? The church is in heaven. These are the saints that are converted from the Jewish nation, and they go around, I believe, that 144,000 are God's preachers to preach to the rest of the world. What little change. They run, and they preach, and because the devil couldn't kill them. But he goes after them if he could. Okay. And power is given on him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Every great dictator wanted to do what this guy will do. He's going to fulfill the dreams of all of the dictators of the world. In the time past, they went so far, and then they met somebody bigger, tougher, stronger, smarter, whatever. That tough guy that is the bully in the class, don't worry about him. He's going to pick on the wrong guy one day. He might be able to beat you up. That's right. Okay. He just might be stronger than you, smarter than you, tougher than you. Don't worry about it. Just around the corner is a guy that's going to kick his tail in. And that's the same way right here. Most of these dictators, they soon or later pick a war with somebody they can't win. Even though they go very strong and get very, very, very close. Well, God's going to give this guy 3.5 years to be the one big ruler of the world in absolute control like Christ. And then he's going to drop him. Well, didn't get very far, but this is a good chapter, actually.